now on its 157th day, the Israeli genocide in Gaza claims more civilian lives as the death toll tops 31,000, mostly women and children. Palestinian resistance fighters carry out more retaliatory operations against Israeli forces in Gaza, inflicting losses and casualties on them. And on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan, Israeli forces blocked the entry of hundreds of Palestinian worshippers into Al-Aqsa Mosque. Hello everyone from the studios in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. In today's top story, Israel keeps pounding Gaza, killing more Palestinians in fresh strikes across the besieged territory. The regime's warplanes have struck an area near the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. The camp itself was also targeted in an air raid. In Gaza City, the dead bodies of 10 Palestinians were recovered from under the rubble of a house and were then transferred to Al-Shifa Hospital. Israel's genocidal war on Gaza is now in its sixth month. The death toll has passed 31,000, most of them women and children. The war has reduced much of Gaza into rubble as Israel's relentless attacks target a wide range of buildings from schools to mosques. According to Gaza's government media office, 220 mosques have been completely damaged since October the 7th. Israeli forces have intensified attacks on residential buildings in central and southern Gaza in the past 24 hours. Let's listen to our correspondent in Deir al-Balah, Moti Abu Musabbeh, who joined us earlier for more details.
The Israeli occupation forces maintained and continued their airstrikes against several areas in Gaza Strip. Those airstrikes actually were intensified over the last couple of hours against Al-Nusayrat refugee camp. Another residential building was destroyed. At least three Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed, while dozens were injured in that attack. It's worth mentioning that over the last night, the Israeli occupation forces committed an appalling massacre after destroying a residential square in the Nusayrat refugee camp that included several residential buildings in addition to stores and warehouses and shops, and a big fire actually engulfed those houses and those shops there. At least nine Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over the last attack. And in the meantime, the Israeli artillery maintained shelling the eastern part of Deir al-Balah city here as we are standing right now. While in Gaza City, the Israeli warplanes also renewed their strikes against several residential buildings. Another residential building was destroyed and flattened, particularly in the southern part of Gaza City. At least nine Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed over the last couple of hours over that attack. And in the meantime, when it comes to Khan Yunis City, as you know, that the Israeli occupation forces are still attacking Hamad neighborhood located in the area between Deir al-Balah City and Khan Yunis City. More residential buildings were blasted and blown up by the Israeli occupation forces. Meanwhile, the eastern parts of Khan Yunis City also were subjected to more attacks of the Israeli occupation forces as more residential buildings in Al-Qarara neighborhood were destroyed and blasted by the Israeli occupation forces.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has blamed the Israeli regime for the failure to reach an agreement on a ceasefire in Gaza. In a statement, the Hamas political bureau chief said the movement will not settle for anything less than a full cessation of Israeli aggression and the withdrawal of the occupation forces from Gaza. Ismail Haniyeh said Israel has evaded providing guarantees required for a ceasefire during the talks held so far. He added that Israel has not even committed to having people return to the areas they were pushed out of. Haniyeh noted that Hamas has shown great responsibility, positivity and flexibility in the negotiation process mediated by Qatar and Egypt. The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has inflicted losses on Israeli forces in its fresh retaliatory attacks in Gaza. The Al-Ghassan Brigade said its fighters managed to detonate a building in an undisclosed location in Gaza, killing and injuring a number of Israeli infantry forces. It added that resistance fighters clashed with another group of Israeli troops inside a tunnel, which caused several casualties amongst the invaders. The military wing of Hamas also said that an Israeli engineering corps soldier was shot in the head in an area near the southern city of Khan Yunis. And in northern Gaza, the Al-Qassam brigades targeted an Israeli military post using a drone. Another Israeli soldier was also targeted by resistance snipers in Gaza City. Palestinian resistance fighters have been putting stiff resistance to Israeli soldiers since the start of the regime's ground invasion of Gaza. Israeli forces have denied hundreds of worshippers entry into the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the eve of the holy month of Ramadan. Eyewitness accounts indicate that Israeli troops detained citizens at the gates of the mosque and blocked their access to it. The regime's forces also imposed restrictions on young men entering the mosque. Meanwhile, Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement denounced the move. It said the desecration of the mosque by Israeli forces and settlers and refusing worshippers access to it amount to, quote, playing with fire. The Israeli regime has kept the Al-Aqsa Mosque under a tight siege for 5 months, denying worshippers entry into the holy site. The leader of the Ansarullah movement has vowed that the Yemeni armed forces will continue their operations in support of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. Abdul Malik al-Houthi was referring to the attacks launched against the Israeli-bound vessels in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. He condemned the Israeli regime for what he called crime of genocide committed against the Palestinians in Gaza. Al-Houthi praised the Yemeni nation for the massive pro-Palestine rallies held across the Arab country. The Ansarullah leader warned that the repercussions of not supporting Palestinians would affect the entire Muslim world.
Now, top Yemeni official Mohammed Ali al-Houthi has warned the U.S. against the continuation of its hostile actions in the Red Sea. He stated that the Yemeni army is fully aware of the loopholes in American aerial operations, which can be exploited during the takeoff or landing of U.S. fighter jets.
The movement of the American, British and Israeli enemy are monitored by our forces, especially in the context of the recent escalation during which we witnessed airstrikes against Yemeni territories. Our monitoring includes any takeoff or landing to and from American ships. We are able to target them and our operations are legitimate in defense of our brothers in Gaza and in defense of our land that is being targeted by American airstrikes.
According to experts, Yemen always sends several warnings to enemies before taking any military action. They say the militarization of the region will only result in escalation of the conflict, which will also impact the rest of the world, including Europe and America.
The presence of American forces and the battleships in the Red Sea put them within the reach of our weapons, and thus the Yemeni leadership's warning to America indicates that the Yemeni armed forces have the ability to hit enemy forces, including warplanes stationed on aircraft carriers. When these aircraft take off, they can be dealt with by appropriate weapons, whether ballistic missiles or drones. The continued presence of American forces in Yemeni regional waters will further complicate the situation, and the region does not need more militarization, and if the situation escalates here, the consequences will reach America and Europe.
In November 2023, Sana'a announced a naval siege on Israeli maritime navigation in solidarity with the oppressed people of Palestine. However, the US and UK launched several attacks on Yemen in order to stop its operations against Israeli-linked ships and the Red Sea. Since then, the Yemeni army intensified its maritime attacks against American and British vessels in retaliation for their aggression.
Experts say the Yemeni army, despite its limited capabilities, has succeeded in exposing the weaknesses within the U.S. military, which is regarded as one of the most powerful in the world. They argue that following the recent warning from Yemen, the U.S. must cease its intervention in regional waterways to salvage its reputation on the global stage. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
People in Pakistan have organized the Gaza March to denounce the international community's silence regarding Israel's onslaught on the Palestinian territory. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi reports from Islamabad with further details.
Chants echoed through the streets of the Pakistani capital Islamabad as thousands of demonstrators gathered to condemn the United States and Israel.
Ceasefire now!
The protest, organized by Pakistan's largest religio-political party, Jamaat-e-Islami, saw passionate crowds marching through the streets, expressing solidarity with the Palestinian cause and denouncing Israel's actions, which take place with the support of the U.S.
Of course, there should be a ceasefire long ago, but even now we are pressing for it, and you have seen how irresponsible and insensitive Biden has been responding. He was just having ice cream and talking about ceasefire as if it was a very casual affair. And on the other hand, the way children are dying, women are dying from morning till night, and especially there are a lot of prisoners which are taken by Israel. And there are large number of women and children who have been taken as prisoners, and their condition is pathetic.
The acts of solidarity in Pakistan reflect widespread outrage and sympathy for the plight of the Palestinian people.
As a Pakistani citizen, I think that our government should immediately call for a ceasefire and boycott all the products that are supporting the Israeli aggression in Palestine. And I also want to say that the whole world should come out of their houses and protest, because the kids, Palestinian kids, are starving right now, and they are being starved, and they are scared, and they are homeless, and they have nothing to eat and drink, and they are dying. And how can anybody bear that?
The protesting Pakistanis called on the government to cut its ties with the U.S. over what they call the barbaric role in the killing of innocent men, women and children in Gaza.
People here in Pakistan are concerned about the ongoing atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza. They are demanding that the international community enforce an immediate ceasefire by bringing the U.S. and Israel to the International Court of Justice for their war crimes in Gaza. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
Syrians struggle to survive under inhumane Western sanctions in Ramadan, while the plight of their starving brothers and sisters in Gaza weighs heavily on their hearts and minds. Our correspondent Ibrahim Wadi reports from Damascus.
Syrians have long been accustomed to eagerly welcoming the holy month of Ramadan, brimming with joy and happiness. But this year has brought an unusual sense of sadness as the harsh economic conditions exacerbated by unjustified Western sanctions is casting a shadow over their celebrations. Moreover, their hearts are heavy with sorrow for their brethren in Gaza, who endure the devastating consequences of the ongoing Israeli onslaught.
We are going through a painful situation as people do not have money due to the poor economic conditions. As store owners, we are trying to consider the people's circumstances by reducing prices during Ramadan. However, basic production materials are expensive due to the importing difficulties.
Ramadan is always a special month, as it is a month of worship, patience and blessings, especially in Palestine. However, this year, it is as if Palestinians in Gaza have been fasting for more than 5 months. We pray for them and gain our determination, patience and steadfastness from them, from the brave faces of Gaza's children, the resilience of its resistance fighters, and the patience of its steadfast women.
Ramadan comes this year while the Western world, which claims freedom and humanity, practices double standards with the people of Gaza, who are suffering from hunger, blockade, and Israeli crimes. Palestinians are paying the price for demanding their freedom and legitimate rights. Syrians will always stand with them until the final victory over the Zionist regime and the liberation of the occupied lands.
The month of Ramadan comes this year amid the continued unjust Western economic blockade on Syria. We see our people in Gaza suffering from blockade, hunger, killing, destruction, and continuous Zionist aggression without deterrent.
Syrians are a living nation because they have defended resistance, and the Palestinian people are the soul of resistance. We say to the West, you will lose, and the access of resistance from Iran to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Yemen will prevail. We will break the Caesar Act and all your blockades on Syria and Gaza, and we will all pray in Al-Quds.
Syrian message to their brothers and sisters in Gaza is that no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, Your tragedy in Gaza remains even more challenging, and your resilience is an inspiration not only for us, but for all free people around the world.
Syrians welcome Ramadan this year amid hard economic conditions due to unjust Western sanctions, and with heavy hearts for their besieged brothers and sisters in Gaza. Yet their commitment to the resistance fuels their faith in eventual victory. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
International organizations have called on the Taliban to lift its bans against women and girls. However, the Taliban says these organizations are pursuing what it calls intelligence objectives under the guise of advocating human rights in the country. Abdullah Amirzadeh reports from Kabul.
On the occasion of International Women's Day, the UN Secretary General, along with some international entities, called on the Taliban to lift its bans against women and girls in Afghanistan. They also called on the international community to bolster support and safeguard the rights of Afghan women and girls.
A global backlash against women's rights is threatening and in some cases reversing progress in developing and developed countries alike. The most egregious example is Afghanistan, where women and girls have been barred from much of the education system, from employment outside the home, and from most public spaces.
In response to global concerns over the violation of women's rights, Zabihullah Mujahid, the spokesperson for the Taliban, said women's rights in Afghanistan are protected and that international organizations should not be concerned. The Taliban deputy spokesperson also says human rights organizations are pursuing intelligence objectives in Afghanistan.
Unfortunately, the human rights organizations are pursuing intelligence objectives in the country, and human rights and women's rights are only their pretext to achieve these goals.
Sadiqa Murtazavi, the founder of an educational center for girls, says neither the Taliban nor international organizations have done anything tangible for girls' education in the country, and this could lead to a disaster in the future.
International organizations haven't taken any tangible steps regarding female education in Afghanistan. On the other hand, the Taliban knows education is a legal right of women, but they use this as leverage. However, the Taliban announced that women can go to Islamic schools and study. That's not enough. Women need to learn modern sciences. We need female doctors and teachers, for instance. This lack of female education will be acutely felt the coming years.
The future of female education in Afghanistan remains unclear. While international organizations and the Taliban say they are working on the issue, so far there hasn't been much progress. Despite the two-year ban on women's education and employment, women in Afghanistan are still holding on to hopes that they will once again have access to education and job opportunities. Abdullah Amirzadeh, Kabul.
There you have it. Those were the top stories. Thank you for being with us. Take care and bye-bye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kHz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The Limelight.
Following the Israeli regime's brutal war in Gaza, most of the Islamophobic incidents in the United Kingdom involve people who are being targeted because of their support for Palestine. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. A new report has revealed that the number of Islamophobic incidents has risen sharply in the United Kingdom following the Israeli regime's brutal war in the Gaza Strip, leaving British Muslims in fear. According to a report by The Independent on Sunday, 25th of February, most of the Islamophobic incidents in the United Kingdom involve people who are being targeted because of their support for Palestine. A Muslim woman told The Independent that she was targeted because she had a Palestinian flag in her window, adding that she could have been killed by a brick thrown through her window because of her support for Palestine. A 17-year-old teenage student also said he was questioned by his teachers after he displayed a Palestinian badge on his bag at school. The student went on to say that he felt targeted because he was a Muslim, which triggered an anxiety attack and led to exam failure after he was interrogated by teachers about his faith and his understanding of Hamas. A 32-year-old doctor also said he has been too scared to leave his home after an attack he believes stemmed from his support for Palestine. He was awoken on 5th of February after a large rock smashed through a window at his Manchester home, which displayed a Palestinian flag. He said this event has been extremely traumatic and has had a significant impact on his well-being, adding that he was unable to sleep and took 2 weeks off work as a result of the incident. Majid Iqbal, the chief executive officer of the Islamophobia Response Unit, a charity which supports victims of Islamophobia, noted that there was a 365% increase in reports of Islamophobic incidents in October of 2023, following the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas's surprise attack on the occupied Palestinian territories on 7th of October. Majid Iqbal said, since October of last year, the Islamophobia Response Unit has seen a sustained increase in reports to the unit, warning that it is clear that this is now developing into a long-term trend and is having a profound impact on those affected by it. Majid Iqbal further called on press and politicians to not demonize legitimate Palestinian activism and, by extension, British Muslims, to avoid feeding into the serious societal problem of Islamophobia. Telmama, which monitors anti-Muslim incidents, also said There were 2,010 Islamophobic incidents between 7th of October last year and 7th of February this year, more than triple the 600 reported during the same period in previous year. The Israeli regime launched its deadly bombing campaign against the Gaza Strip after a Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, waged Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the occupying regime. So far, tens of thousands of Palestinians, many of them women and children, have been massacred in the Israeli regime's brutal onslaught on Gaza. Ever since, reports of Islamophobic acts and attacks on pro-Palestinian activists have been growing across the world. Observers say Muslims, especially Muslim women wearing a hijab, have been insulted and attacked on the streets of Britain. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. London's Metropolitan Police said there has been nearly 370% increase in Islamophobic hate crimes in the British capital London amid the brutal Israeli bombardment of the Gaza Strip. Between 7th of October last year and 10th of February this year, the Metropolitan Police recorded almost 2,100 Islamophobic incidents in London, up from 600 in the same period last year. Metropolitan Police said a man was arrested for 10 alleged incidents of Islamophobic graffiti at a bus stop in New Malden and in Rains Park in South London. Police said in a statement recently, "Regrettably, despite the increased presence of police officers, we have seen a significant increase in hate crimes across London. This includes abuse directed at individuals or groups, in person or online, racially or religiously motivated, criminal damage and other offences." Tel Mama, which monitors anti-Muslim incidents, said it had received 2,000 cases up to 7th of February this year. London's Mayor Sadiq Khan also confirmed that the war on Gaza Strip is having a direct impact on London and Londoners, with increasing cases of Islamophobia in the British capital London. An independent team of United Nations human rights experts has found racism in the United Kingdom to be systemic and eroding the rights of Muslims and people of colour. The United Nations human rights experts say racism in the United Kingdom is structural, institutional and systemic, warning that Muslims and black people in Britain continue to encounter discrimination and erosion of their fundamental rights. The United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent said in a statement at the end of a landmark tour of the country, it said, "We have serious concerns about impunity and the failure to address racial disparities in criminal justice system in Britain, deaths in police custody, joint enterprise convictions, and the dehumanizing nature of the so-called stop-and-search policing strategy." The United Nations Human Rights Council appointed experts said during their official visit to Britain, they had gathered evidence of all-too-real trauma felt by Muslims and black people who were suffering racial discrimination and injustice in Britain. The Middle East Eye has also covered the same story and tells us more. Several Muslim human rights groups have jointly denounced state-sponsored Islamophobia facing Muslims across Europe, warning that Muslims are unjustly placed on blacklists around the European continent. Addressing the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, OSCE's Human Dimension Conference in Warsaw, Poland recently, seven Muslim civil society groups from Austria, France, Sweden, Spain and the Netherlands sounded the alarm bell over the climate of state-sponsored Islamophobia in their respective countries. Representatives from Britain, Austria and France also attended the conference organized by the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, where each Muslim group had 3 minutes to address the session. The gathering came just days after Polish authorities banned Mohammad Rabbani, managing director of CAGE, a UK-based advocacy organization, from entering Poland after his name appeared in a no-entry list to the Schengen zone. During his speech at the conference, Adani Al-Kanfoudi, a spokesperson for Muslim Rights Watch in the Netherlands, said he was due to meet Mohammad Rabbani alongside other European Muslim civil rights societies and groups. Kanfoudi said, "This incident, among many others, is a perfect example of a broader pattern where key figures from the Muslim community in Europe are unjustly placed on blacklists."
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints. I'm Hadi Saravi, your host. Welcome and thanks for listening. I am with our guest speakers, dear Brother Ali and Sheikh Rouhani, thank you for being here. And thank you for giving this time to us, to this program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. You see that every day and every moment has its own values. You know, we see that. For example, every moment, every second we live is valuable. And the same story is true when it comes to days and months of the year, among which some of them are of greatest values. For example, we have Rajab, we have Shaaban. These months are so valuable, so precious. We can, that every second of it counts. And, you know, Ramadan, as I said, is a month in which we are invited to a feast. This is a very famous quote. And the host is the Almighty Allah. There are plenty of literature on the topic, most important of which come from Quran. The month is ahead of us. This is a month in which our Holy Quran has been revealed and descended. Every second and minute of this month is of great value. We need to try to be better and better in this month. We need to, by thinking, by doing the right things in the month, every day we can be a better person. The question that many people have, or many people can think about, or maybe most people are so involved, is this: how to get more prepared? Sometimes I realize that it's all over, it's finished, and I'm just regretting the last moments, the last seconds, the last minutes. I wish I could do this. I wish I had done that. So how can we be more prepared?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his beautiful progeny. All of us know that this holy month of Ramadan is one of the most important months in the calendar for all the Muslims all around the world. And this is the month of banquet and feast of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah's blessings are showered to the whole beings on the scene of the earth, whether humans or not humans, and all this. Actually, blessings have been said and repeated in the course of history, and we are not going to dive in because it's quite clear for those who know the importance and at least have heard of the holy month of Ramadan. They know what an important month is, the peak of which is the nights of Qadr or Destiny. Mm-hmm. But knowing all these points about the importance and blessings and benefits of such a month, how to prepare ourselves to enter this preparation? How does it happen? Where does it start from? Actually, for us, when we are going to join a party or a celebration or let's say banquet, we usually try to have some preparations earlier before entering that. For example, even a worldly party that we have, for example, in our families and our relatives, usually we have clean clothes and we actually dress up well and we try our best. We try to do our
best.
These
are the formalities.
Yeah, we try to do our best to prepare ourselves for entering that party. So some preparations are being done through the host, some from the some from the host and some from the guest. You see, both sides are preparing themselves. As for the host, we all try and we all trust this host that he has already done his job best. Mm. I mean, no doubt in it. So if he promised something, definitely it will happen. But as for the guest, so we have some duties as the guest, that we are going to be the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. How to prepare ourselves? We need to think and ponder a bit. Mm. And to look at the whole Prophet and his holy life and the Imams of Al-Bayt and the infallible Muslim, how did they prepare themselves in order to enter? Some say, some of the scholars of Akhlaq and Ethics, they say that usually this preparation starts from the month of Rajab, from the early month, the early days
Very
of the whole
point,
month of Rajab, not from the end of Sha'ban. Because in the month of Allah Himself, with lots of tawheed and tahleel, that usually a uniqueness of Allah which is being testified and is being recited and said, because among the recommended adhkar of the holy month of Rajab is to recite lots of tahleel, la ilaha illallah, or to recite lots of surah al-tawheed, surah al-ikhlas, which emphasizes on the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it starts from Rajab. Or even some said, no, it starts from this month of, I mean, the last month of Ramadan, not from last Rajab, that is 2 months ago. No, from 11 months ago. That is right after the Eid al-Fitr of last year, it started. We have to prepare ourselves for the arrival of the next Ramadan, because this is that important to understand the whole Ramadan. One of the scholars of Akhlaq, he said that once I try to prepare myself from a last Eid al-Fitr, just to understand the importance and the value of the Laylatul Qadr in the upcoming month of Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
So not to be that technical like this scholar of Akhlaq, but like an ordinary person. So we need to value those three consecutive months that are going to be the preparatory phases for the arrival of the holy month of Ramadan. That is to value Rajab, to value Sha'ban. But even if we have missed all these things, again, there is another chance for us at the ending days of Sha'ban, that is the last 3 days of Sha'ban, to be in fast, in a fasting manner, or to do so in these days. Pay attention to the recommendations of the Holy Prophet in the last in his khutbah in the last Fridays of the month of Sha'ban. Mm-hmm. The way that he actually warned people, okay, people, this month of Ramadan is coming. Have you prepared yourself for that? So at least we need to value, even if we miss those days of Sha'ban and we forgot to do istighfar in the last days of Sha'ban, even if such a thing happened, we need to value the days of month of Ramadan. Okay, but there has been some chances for the people that they received lots of changes. I faced lots of changes in the holy month of Ramadan itself without having any preparatory step before. But it does not mean that we just to postpone everything for the holy month of Ramadan itself. So if we see the emphasis that the Holy Prophet says to the people in his last khutbah, in his khutbah of last Friday of Sha'ban, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ مَرْهُونَةٌ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ فَفُكُّهَا بِاسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ. Oh people, your souls are entrapped by your actions and deeds. Release them by your repentance and your asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. So this is, we see these warnings of the Holy Prophet, right? So when we see them, and when we have seen other recommendations like fasting the last 3 days of Sha'ban, so why should we ignore them? So we need to pay attention to these enlightening words and statements that come from a enlightening source, the source that receives revelation. So why should we ignore all these important points?
Yeah, exactly. And this preparation means something.
Yeah.
You prepare. You do not prepare for everything.
Very
you
true.
Prepare yourself for things that are important.
Very important, true.
Yeah, and also when you are prepare yourself, when you want to go on a journey, you prepare.
Very true.
If you want to, leave this world, you have to be prepared to leave this. And when there is such an important event is about to happen.
When a month, at every moment, every single moment of which is very important and valuable when our sleep on it is known as looked at, is known as counted as ibadah and worship. When our breaths are known as ibadah and acts of worship.
Counts.
So how can we understand the importance and value of this month? How can we prepare ourselves? How can we actually reach to the peak of it? That is the Laylatul Qadr, the night of destiny. And what happens there? These are the points that we need to think to ponder. What happens there in the night of Qadr? That it is that much important that some have prepared themselves from a year before to understand the value of this night.
You know, there are many, many things to ponder over these moments and these nights and days. Dear Rouhani, and is this... you know, we kind of talked about this preparation mentally and physically, how to get involved, how to get prepared. And, you know, so imagine we have decided, we have prepared ourselves and to start these, to use the best of these months. So how, and I mean, what are the ways? We always talk about hows. And what can we do? What are the best things we can do to appreciate these? Some people say that read a lot, think about, or, you know, for example, there are different ideas. What do you think is the best thing to start, to begin?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, the best preparation for the holy month of Ramadan, I think, is the mental preparation. Because the one who wants to embrace this holy month, he must mentally be fully prepared for entering this holy month. To be mentally prepared, because first we think about something, then we act. Uh-huh. If our thought, our mind is not fully prepared, then of course in terms of action we will suffer lots of problems. To mentally prepare ourselves, I think we should think, our brothers and sisters, our audience, respected audience, should think of this, that we are always in the status of a kind of fasting. For example, every day, every moment, we control ourselves. Mm-hmm. We do not do each and everything that we wish. Mm. We do not say each and every word that we can say. We do not listen to each and everything that we can listen. We do not go in each and every place that we can go.
Exactly.
You know? Very important. We do not move our hand in whatever way
we wish.
But
something otherwise happens most of the time.
We do not watch and see and look at each and everything that we can do, you know? So that's why fasting is not only in the holy month of Ramadan, rather the good servant of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if someone is not the servant of God, he is always fasting. You know, fasting is mean a kind of controlling on certain actions and deeds that you may perform in your life. So that's why everybody observes a kind of fasting in his whole life. Either he is Muslim, non-Muslim, atheist, Buddhist, Hindus, whatever. This is the lowest level of fasting that everyone try to observe certain rulings in his life to have a sound kind of body, a healthy body, let's say a good life, a prosperous life. But when it comes to the point is that what is the purpose of fasting? On what purpose we fast? Mm-hmm. This is very much significant, you know. In Islam, from the Islamic perspective, based on the revelation and wahi, as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his household and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam guided us, we are ordered to fast for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to getting closer and closer to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This closeness to Almighty or nearness to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a kind of perfection for ourselves. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need any kind of thing from us. He is needless. He is self-sufficient. What we need is to perfect ourselves, to achieve more, let's say, happiness, achieve more pleasures, achieve more, let's say, perfection. This is the way that we can achieve that by a kind of self-controlling. Sometimes the level of this self-controlling is something normal that everybody do, but sometimes it is in the higher level. In the higher level, in the highest level we have in the peak of it is in the holy month of Ramadan.
Ramadan is the month of Imam Ali also, one entitled the speaking Quran, as to speak. in this special occasion, we can ask him to help us find the way. As you have heard the famous quote from Prophet Muhammad a lot, that he is the only gate to all the wisdom. Thank you for all the thing, for all that this time you gave to us. Hope you enjoy your time. May the Almighty bless you all. Farewell. Bye-bye. Allahu, Allahu, Ya Rabbi, Ya Allah. Allahu, Ya Rabbi, Ya Allah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammadun Rasulullah. أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم منك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال الله الله يا ربي يا الله الله يا ربي يا الله
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight.
Members of two Palestinian families have filed a criminal complaint against German leaders for aiding and abetting the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, lawyers acting on behalf of two Palestinian families have requested that German federal prosecutors investigate Chancellor Olaf Scholz, Vice Chancellor Robert Habeck, Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock and Finance Minister Christian Lindner, among other officials, for providing the Zionist regime with weapons and political support and failing in their obligation to prevent Israel from committing genocidal acts. In a historic ruling in January, the International Court of Justice, ICJ, found that Israel is accused of committing genocide in Gaza and ordered a halt to all its potentially genocidal acts, a decision the Zionist regime has ignored. lawyers for the Palestinian families said recently, German criminal law requires a ground for initial suspicion to start investigations on a potential crime being committed. The ICJ ruling clearly showed that there is such ground for initial suspicion when it comes to the crime of genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. The lawyer said that Germany has shown some of the strongest political and material support to Israel in its assault on the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians, with many German officials also inciting to genocide in their statements since October 2023. The case is being brought by the European Legal Support Center, PIPD, that is Palestine Institute for Public Diplomacy and Law for Palestine, through organizations that are part of the Palestinian-led Justice and Accountability for Palestine initiative. Nora Ragab, one of the plaintiffs, said, "We, the living, must remember the dead in Gaza, tell their stories, and fight for justice. We, Palestinians in the diaspora, will not stand by and watch a genocide being committed against our families and our people. I lost family members in Gaza in November 2023. They were executed by the Israeli military while they were defending their homes," Ragab told a press conference in Berlin recently. German federal prosecutors have a history of shielding accused Israeli war criminals from justice, such as their refusal to properly investigate the Zionist regime's killing of a Palestinian German family in Gaza in 2014. But against the background of the ICJ decision, there may be growing international momentum to finally bring an end to this impunity. In a landmark ruling this month, for instance, a court in the Netherlands ordered the Dutch government to stop sending parts for US-made F-35 warplanes to the Zionist regime. And a federal judge in the United States accepted that the American government was aiding and abetting what he considered genocide in Gaza, but dismissed the case against Biden administration officials over their complicity in these crimes on jurisprudential grounds. Najia Samour, a lawyer on the German case who works for the European Legal Support Center, said, "Our governments in Europe have a legal obligation not to provide Israel any support in perpetrating the current genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. This lawsuit sends a clear message to German officials. You cannot continue to remain accomplices of such crime without consequences. We want accountability." Germany has made no secret of its full support for the Zionist regime's attack on Palestinians in Gaza, justifying Israel's genocidal barbarity and opposing calls for an immediate ceasefire. Chancellor Scholz and Foreign Minister Baerbock gave unqualified early support for the Zionist regime's massive indiscriminate attacks on Palestinians. Scholz, Habeck and Baerbock have invoked the claim of Holocaust as a reason not to oppose the Zionist regime's genocide in Gaza, but to actually support it. Baerbock has also spread lies used by the Zionist regime to justify its direct and deliberate attacks on civilians. In its zeal to allow the Zionist regime's extermination in Gaza to proceed unabated, Germany opposed South Africa's application to the International Court of Justice that resulted in January's historic order to Tel Aviv to hold all genocidal acts. That prompted Hage Geingob, the president of Namibia, whose people were the first victims of a German genocide in the early 20th century, to admonish Berlin. Geingob, who died in early February, denounced Berlin's shocking decision to reject the morally upright indictment brought forward by South Africa before the International Court of Justice that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza, Gop said, in light of Germany's inability to draw lessons from its horrific history. The shocking decision to reject the morally upright indictment brought forward by South Africa before the International Court of Justice that Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in Gaza. Germany has done more than cheer the Zionist regime's genocide from the sidelines. Between October 7th and early November, Berlin officials approved more than $300 million worth of military sales to Tel Aviv regime. That's 10 times more than Germany's arms sales to Israel for the whole of 2022. In a video posted by the German War Ministry on October 19th, days before the Zionist regime's ground invasion that would dramatically escalate its genocidal violence and destruction, War Minister Boris Pistorius assured his Israeli counterpart, Yoav Gallant, that Berlin would provide the Zionist regime continued military support. Meanwhile, Berlin bragged that it had begun a military airlift to Israel. At Christmas, members of the Luftwaffe, Germany's Air Force, even distributed traditional seasonal cakes to forces of Israel's Golani Brigade. The Germans evidently wanted to reward the Golani forces for perpetrating genocide against starving Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And this all flows from long-standing military cooperation between Berlin and the genocidal regime in Tel Aviv. For instance, the German military has previously boasted that it trains German troops in Israel to use Israeli-built drones that have been tested by killing Palestinians. Since October 7th, the German military has returned at least two of its Israeli-built drones to Israel to allow them to be used in the genocide in Gaza.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.